What I'd like to do is, we're at the end of Tanis Esther, is focus a little bit on what Tanis Esther is, try to understand it in terms of its meaning to each of us, and hopefully the lessons are something we take with us, you know, even as we transition to Purim. And I'd like to start with three basic questions. If you look in source one, so the Paskin Zachariah describes the different Tanios, the different fast days, specifically the different Durabanan fast days. You know, Midaraisa, what's the only fast we have? Yom Kippur. Midarabanan, what fast days do we have? We have, right, six? What are they? Tanis Esther. So in order, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, Tanis Esther, Shema Asar B'Tammuz, and Tisha B'Av. Good. Okay. So the pasuk says, Ko Amar Hashem Tzarkos, Tzom HaRevi'i, V'Tzom HaChamishi, V'Tzom HaShvi, V'Tzom HaAsiri. Yele Beis Yehuda L'Sasson, L'Simcha L'Moadim Tovim, V'Ayem Esh HaShal Mahevu. How many fast days are listed in the pasuk in Zechariah? David? Four. You're getting there. Okay, four, right? Four, and they're listed by month. Whoever said the fast day of the Bechorim is not listed. But which ones actually? Go through them. They listed by month. When do their months start in the pasuk? Their months are starting from when? From Nisan, right? So therefore, we have Tzom HaRevi. What's Tzom HaRevi? Is Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi is Tisha B'Av. Tzom HaShvi. Tzom Gedalia. Tzom HaAsiri is Asar B'Teves. So which fast is missing? Tanis Esther. So question number one is, why is Tanis Esther missing from this pasuk? One could suggest, perhaps they think historically, it's later. However, the bottom line is it's missing. So question number one is, why is Tanis Esther missing? In fact, if you look in source four, yeah, whoever said we skip. So typically, I was joking with Ray Cohen before. Apparently, we tend to skip a lot on source sheets. This will be, I believe, generally in order. I don't know why we tend to skip around so much. But we're going to get to source four later. However, if you look just quickly, so we'll get to that halacha later. That's from the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama says, there are certain kulas, certain leniencies that apply on Tanis Esther. They don't apply on any other fast day. And the reason is, again, because it's different from all other fast days midrabanan. So that's just our question, is why. Question number two is, if you look in source two, so we're in order, the Brisa says as follows. Hayam ha'ila aksumim in Megillas Tanis. There are certain days, certain holidays that are listed in Megillas Tanis. Lifneim v'lacharein asurin. I'm not allowed to fast lifneim v'lacharein. What's lifneim v'lacharein? The days before and the days after. Shabbosos v'yomim tovim. In contrast to these days, these holidays listed in Megillas Tanis, in contrast, those Shabbosos v'yomim tovim, hein asurim lifneim v'lacharein mutarin. But those, the days before and after, one is allowed to fast. What are these fast days? What are these, days of celebration? So Purim's among them. So the question that Tosus wonders, if you look in source 3, Vim Tomar, Kevan to Amar Halachak Rebbe Yossi, Hich Anu Mis'anin Lifnei HaPurim. Why are we allowed to fast the day before Purim? Purim is one of the days that's listed. It's a day of celebration. It's one of the days, again, listed in the Megillas Tanis. I didn't give you all the days. But Tosus points out it's one of them. So if it's one of them, I shouldn't be allowed to fast the day before Purim. Why is it that Tanis Esther takes place today? And we know historically that's not really when it actually happened. Right? We're likely commemorating a fast day that took place in Nisan. So we understand we can't fast during Nisan. It was deposited here. But why? And why is it even allowed? More importantly, why am I allowed to fast on Erev Purim? I don't usually fast on Erev Yontif. So that's question number two. Question number three goes to source four, so we're in order. What did the Shulchan Aruch tell us? If Yud Gimel Adar falls out on if Purim, sorry, falls out on Sunday, in other words, Tanis Esther falls out on Shabbos, do we fast on Shabbos? But what do we do to that fast? It's going to happen, I believe, in 2 years. The calendar will fall out this way in 2 years. Purim is on a Sunday. Tanis Esther should be on Shabbos. When do we fast?
Thursday.
Even if it falls out, if Purim fell out on Shabbos and Tanis Esther fell out on Friday, we push Tanis Esther up to Thursday also. Right? So that's the halacha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch tells us. What's difficult about that? Why is that problematic? Why does it not make any sense?
Push it back for Shabbos, but not for...
What?
If we're pushing it back for Shabbos, why are we not pushing it back for Purim?
What happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos? What do we do? So just define forwards and backwards, so we're in the same... Correct. If Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, we fast on Sunday. We don't push up, forwards, backwards. We don't push to Thursday. We push to Sunday. So how come Tanis Esther, we push to Thursday? I understand you'll tell me you can't fast on Sunday because it's Purim. That's true. Maybe not on Monday because it's Shushan Purim. But we should push it back, at least push it back to Tuesday. Right? And we know that the Gemara tells us in Source 5, the Gemara tells us, Man atze kohanim v'tisha b'av v'chagiga v'hakel, ma'acharin v'lo makdimin. Tisha b'av, we push back, ma'acharin, we delay it, v'lo makdimin, we don't make it earlier. Why not? The Gemara says, akdumi peranios lo makdimin. What does that phrase mean? What? Correct. We don't look forward to bad. We try to procrastinate bad. If we don't want something, we delay it. We delay bad. Tishrei is the sad day, so we delay it. So how a fast day is a sad day. Why do we push up? Why do we bring Tanis Esther earlier if really it should fit into the same category as Tisha B'Av, we should delay it. So hopefully, if we just kind of review these for a minute, we have three questions. Right, what was question one?
Why is it not listed
in the pasuk? What was question two? Why is it allowed to be the day before Purim? And question three, why do we make the fast day earlier? So what it starts to help us think about, if you take all three questions, and we think about in what way Tanis Esther is different from all other fast days, what would you say? Okay, it's not sad, it's happy. Why? Right, just in terms of methodology, it's important to learn the following. The brisker method, one second, we'll get to you in a second. We try to categorize and define things. So we're going to define that Tanis Esther is not a sad fast day, it's a happy fast day. That's great. Right? What we try to push further is to understand why that's the case. In other words, you can look at halacha as a powerful prism to understand things, so we can categorize it, and we can see that clearly Tanis Esther is different from all other fast days. And again, in what way it's different is it is more joyous, but why? So what were you guys going to say? Okay, so most fast days commemorate a Chorban. And specifically, well, I'll get to you in one second. You know, specifically, Asar B'Teves, Shavah, Asar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, those are all related to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Those three have in common, all related to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tzom Gedalia, maybe not as much, but it's still sad. What's Tzom Gedalia about? Gedalia was killed, right? Correct. So there's a lot of sad. We are commemorating sadness, tragedy. What's Tanis Esther?
A successful.
Correct. What does that mean? It's a successful fast. Correct. We davened, we fasted, we appealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem answered. It's actually in that regard more of a cause for celebration. So the Sefer Hagyoni Halacha captures it in the following phrase: Shar Tanios Shel Tzar Hein. All other fast days are fast days of Tzar. It's our pain. We commemorate pain. And the goal of the fast day is to generate that sense of pain. How could it be that we lost the Beis HaMikdash and we don't feel a little bit of a loss? I remember years ago, I was at a bar mitzvah, and the father of the bar mitzvah boy was very active in Jewish communal work. He worked in Jewish communal work. I don't know if I've told this story yet or not. You'll let me know. So Charlie Harari was very close with this, with the father of the bar mitzvah boy, and he spoke at the bar mitzvah. And at that time, he spoke about how he and this father went on a trip to Israel. They went on a trip. They were involved in Kiruv, and they went on a Kiruv trip in Israel. And while they were there, they went out to dinner, and the father of the bar mitzvah boy likes meat a lot. And he says they went to this, they went to, I think, Cafe Rimon, and when they got there, Charlie Ryer said, I figured my friend would order a steak for the appetizer, a bigger steak for the main course. For dessert, he'd have a little steak to wash it down. And when the waiter came, he ordered chicken. And he looked at him in a funny way. He said, I don't get it. You don't even wait 3 hours after chicken. That's not real meat. Why didn't you order a steak? You love steak. And this man looked at Charlie and he said, do you know what the intermarriage rate is like? And he said, no, I don't. And he starts listing off the statistics. I was like, okay, I mean, what does that have to do with steak? So he said, how could it be that we're losing so many Jews and we don't feel a sense of pain? So I accepted upon myself for the next month, this wasn't changing his life, for the next month, during weekdays, I wouldn't eat steak. It's not the biggest sacrifice, but a sacrifice to say, how could it be that the Klal Yisrael is experiencing pain and I won't be mishtatef with them? I won't kind of sympathize with them in that pain. And so a typical fast day, it's sad. We may not feel it day in and day out, but I'm supposed to commemorate, I'm supposed to recognize my life is not whole. There's no Beis HaMikdash. So a few days during the year, I don't eat. And there are a lot of reasons why, but certainly it's tsar, it's pain. I'm supposed to remind myself that my life is empty. There's something, there's a void in my life. That's true for every fast day we've mentioned. It can't be that I can just eat. But Tanis Esther is different. It's not commemorating sadness. On the contrary, says the Hegyone Halacha, the Ilu Tanis Esther, Zechel and Neis Shana Asuba. We're commemorating a miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared for us. We davened and he answered our tefillah. He granted our tefillah. He answered yes to our tefillah. That's actually a joyous fasting. And if you take this idea and go back to our questions, so we'll see how they answer them. Before that, if you look, you don't have it on the source sheets, but I'll read to you when we said Slichos this morning. So if you take the time when saying Slichos, just to understand what we're saying. So it's so powerful because that's what the Slichos are. They're trying to capture that notion that today is a Yom Tefillah. It's a day in which Hashem answers our tefillah. It's a day to recognize how powerful tefillah is. And so again, I'll read you a couple of excerpts. Mizeila, Mizeila, Bnei Asaniva Rabbanai, Kulam Tzaku, Vital Shava Asam El Hashem. Those and those from all sides, the children of my mighty ones and teachers, all cried out, and their pleas rose up to Hashem. Ka, Lekol Rinun Kavo, Sha'alafanai, and Hashem, when those plaintive calls reached him and asked, Uma Kol Atzon Hazeh Baznai. What is the blessing of the sheep that meets my ears? Hashem, we're saying in our slichos, today is the day we all called out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you listened. And we say it again later in slichos, Hakshev tchinasam mishmei monecha. Hashem, listen to the pleading from where you dwell. Kivimei mor v'hadas oshata banecha. Like in the days of Mordechai and Esther, when you saved Klal Yisrael. And so today was a day where we remember tefillah, we remember the power of tefillah, remember the joy that comes when Hashem listens to our tefillahs. If we go back to our questions, that's what the Yonah Halacha suggests. That's why it's not listed in the Pasuk in Zechariah. Zechariah is remembering all of the sad fast days, and he's listing all the sad fast days. But Tanis Esther is purposely not grouped in them because it's not the same as those other fast days. That's also why, typically, these fast days that are established are sad days. We can't enter into a joyous day like Purim on the heels of a tragic fast day. So we don't normally fast. Again, if the fast day commemorates tragedy. But suggests Rav Mursky, it's not his chiddush, but he suggests the reason why we fast today is because it's actually an appropriate introduction to Purim. It's an appropriate lead-in to Purim. There's a joy that we may be hungry, but we should feel a certain sense of joy that today's a day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to our tefillos. He did it 2,000 years ago, and he continues to do it. And so we enter into Purim, Belev Sameach, with a certain sense of fulfillment that it's a day of tefillah. And lastly, that's why we could push up Tanis Esther. It's not Peronios. Tisha B'Av is Peronios. I don't bring Peronios earlier. I delay Peronios. But if it's joy, if it's positive, if the message is uplifting, so we're able to do it earlier. I want to push this idea a little bit further. In the first Mishnah, in Maseches Megillah, so the Mishnah lists off different days that I could read the Megillah on. Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesvav. And the Gemara wonders, what's the source? So again, hopefully most of you learned this Gemara, source 6. The Gemara says, it had a drasha to list out 4 days. So 2 of those days are Yud Dalet and Tesvav, Adar. But the other 2 days, what does it refer to? So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Tresar V'Tlesar. Let us say that the other 2 days that are appropriate for Megillah are the 12th and 13th. So the Gemara answers, K'damar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Shlosha Asar Zman Kehila L'Cholhi. That the 13th is described as Zman Kehila. And therefore we know we're allowed to read the Megillah because it's Zman Kehila. What does Zman Kehila mean? What is the phrase just in English? What does it mean? It's a time of congregating, a time of gathering. Zman, time, keel of gathering. What does that mean? Why does that mean, therefore, we could lay Megillah on that day? So Rashi says, Hakol nikhalu nilina kema oivehem. We gather together to fight. Tosos, the Rush, in the last source, is bothered by Rashi. He doesn't understand, why does that mean, therefore, we could read the Megillah? And he says, what does that have, Zman melchama, what does that have anything to do with the Megillah? So again, Rav Mirsky suggests that it's appropriate for Megillah because thematically what the Megillah is a tefillah. We're remembering history of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us. And so to speak, right, we're presuming Nisa, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to save us. And so he suggests if that's what Zman Kehila is, if that's what Tanis Esther is, it's a day that we gather together to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask Hashem to answer our tefillos, so it makes sense that it should be a day that we could read the Megillah. And then I want to just take in the remaining time that we have, in the remaining minutes that we have, to take this theme and to think about it on a practical level for us. It's oftentimes in davening, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I've probably pointed this out to those of you who are in my shir. We didn't get to have a senior shmooze this week. We were missing out. Next week in Mirat Hashem, I think a good shmooze for this coming week. But Parshas Vayikra, we didn't have last week either, right? We didn't have Parshas Vayikra. So last week's Parshas Vayikra, we didn't, right? So the Torah opens Parshas Vayikra with the word Vayikra. And what's unique about that, the way it's written in the Torah, is what letter is small? The Aleph, right? So what's the significance of the small Aleph? So the significance I saw pointed out is it transforms a word. Vayakar, mikra, is a random coincidence. Vayikra is, and he called out, right? So it changes it from calling out to coincidence. Without an aleph, it's a coincidence. With the aleph, it's an Hashem called out. What's the difference between something just being a coincidence or being a calling? So the suggestion is it's a little aleph, a little detail. And it relates to our lives in the sense that sometimes random coincidences happen. And we attribute to that. We think it's all mikra. Right? That's what Purim is. Purim is we think it's all mikra. It's a random lottery. That's why it's called Purim. It's a random lottery. But in fact, Vayikra, if you pay attention to the little details in our lives, they're not mikra. They're Hashem calling out to us. And it's true for everything we do. It's true all the time that coincidences don't just happen, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to us. And it's true for good and for bad. When something bad happens, it's Hashem calling out to us. When something good happens, Hashem calling out to us. Hashem sends us messages all the time. Oftentimes we miss those messages. The messages are embedded in that little aleph, whether or not I pay attention to those little details that Hashem calls out to us. But it's true with tefillah in particular. Because I daven. I sit there and I daven. And one side of the conversation, it's very clear, it's very evident. Hashem, I know what I said. I know that I asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the following. And maybe I put my whole heart into it. I desperately wanted something to happen. And I don't always see the answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course that's a topic is what we believe are unanswered tefillos. Sometimes Hashem saying no, that's its own topic. And it's a topic that's always worth exploring. But the beauty of Tanis Esther is that's not Tanis Esther. Tanis Esther is the opposite. Tanis Esther is the time that Hashem says yes. And it's clear to us that Hashem says yes. And we experience it in our lives, hopefully, often. But we gloss over it. And so I think, again, the goal of Tanis Esther, maybe I'll take your question 1 second. The goal of Tanis Esther is to find the joy in really bottling those yeses. And again, I assure you, if you take the time tonight when you get home, and you sit down for probably 5 minutes, and you do a real cheshbon hanefesh, again, you really ask yourself, what were challenges I went through this year? What were times that I wanted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help? And you actually think about some of the things that happened in the aftermath of those, you'll see that Hashem did answer our tefillah. And even times that perhaps you didn't think you needed something, but randomly it happened. I know in my life, I can think off the top of my head of 5 to 10 times, again, just in the obvious times that it happens. And it's so profound and so loving when you can actually think about it, because we remind ourselves how much Hashem loves us. And that's what Tanis Esther is, a day to capture that. Yes, Mayor. Correct, right, and that delay happens all the time, right? That delay, and the truth, right, really, I think what you're saying, it happens on multiple stages. In other words, Klal Yisrael fast, and it's not answered right away, but that happens in the shorter term, and then the war still doesn't happen until after. And so their lives are still hanging in the balance, and that does happen sometimes, right? And that's a yesod in tefillah also, is that sometimes they ask for something and Hashem answers within the next week. And sometimes it does take 6 months. Sometimes it takes a year. But that answer is still there. And it reminds me, again, I think of that aspect of tefillah that perhaps we don't pay so much attention to. Again, I want to share 2 stories with you. One, I know I've probably shared in the past. The other one, I don't think I have. But the one that I've shared in the past, which again, I think is so important. And even if you've heard it, it's worth keeping it in you, because I think throughout our lives, we'll go through times of frustration. We'll go through times where we do wonder, Hashem, why isn't it a yes? Hashem, where are you? And I think it's worth considering, but it's about a wealthy individual, a wealthy philanthropist, mayor, who every year, he would go to Eretz Yisrael, he'd go to this man, Yushalayim, who ran a tzedakah organization, and he'd write checks for him. The man would tell him about different families in need, and he'd write a check, and he'd write, a total of, you know, somewhere between probably $50,000 and $100,000 of tzedakah he'd give out. And one day, I know I've told this story before, when he was done meeting with this man and giving out the tzedakah, they decided to go to the Kotel. When they got to the Kotel, they saw this individual standing at the wall, crying, a frum guy standing there and crying and crying and crying, pouring his heart out. And so this wealthy individual went over to the man and tapped him on the shoulder, and he said, "What's wrong?" And the man said, "Nothing, everything's fine." And he said, "Perhaps I can help you. If you tell me what's wrong, I can be of assistance." And the man shrugged him off and said, "No, everything's fine." And so the wealthy individual mayor walked away, but he couldn't take his glance off this man. It's clearly he was having such an emotional tefillah, and he went back to him and he tapped him again on the shoulder. He said, "I'm sorry to be a nudge, but I'm here to help. Please, just tell me what. You don't even have to tell me what. Tell me what you need." He takes out his checkbook. He says, "Tell me what. Here's a check. I'll write it. Just tell me the amount. I can't stand to see you in pain like this. Tell me how I can help." And the man says, "No, everything's fine." And again, mayor walks away. It's like a magnetic pull. He comes back a third time. He taps him on the shoulder. And finally, this Jew is davening at the Kotel, looks at him and says, "Why are you so convinced something's wrong?" And mayor says, "Because you're crying. You're davening and you're crying. You obviously need something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu." And he looks at the man, mayor, this Jew looks at mayor, and he says to him, "Baruch Hashem, I'm so fortunate. I just came from celebrating my youngest child's wedding. I'm fortunate. All of my children are happily married. And I'm here to express my Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's true, you're right, I'm crying. But these are tears of joy. It's a tefillah of Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he does for me. And that's why davening is set up that way. There's a bakasha part of davening where we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things, but there's a hodah part of davening. And that's kind of what Tanis Esther is the hodah part, is to recognize I'm asking for things, but I also say, but Hashem, there's so much good in my life. Look at all that you've given me. And those are you answering my tefillos. Those are you granting me Al-Chayinu Am-Sum Riyadachav Am-Nishmoseinu Ha-Pekudoslach An-Nisech Hashem-Achol Yom Imanu. It's Hashem. All of these things you do for me. That's the tefillah of Hakaras HaTov. And I'll share with you one other story related to that. From Rav Yechiel Spiro, he mentions on one Friday night, he was with a friend of his who, after years and years of being married and not having any children, after years was blessed to have a child. And you could imagine the joy that this friend was feeling. He was making a shalom zach he'd waited so many years for. And so Spiro writes that he turned to his friend and said, what I would give to be in the room when you give that child, your new baby, a bracha tonight. I'm sure it's going to be so special. And later that night, he says he gets the shalom zachar, and you could imagine the incredible joy, the celebration that's taking place at this shalom zachar they've waited so many years for. And as the father got up to speak, he starts going through the last halleluka. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all sorts of instruments, with all sorts of songs. And he says, I've often, every day when I dive and wondered, what was David HaMelech experiencing when he describes, we praise Hashem in all of these ways. And he said, tonight, I had a chiddush. It's not really a sophisticated chiddush, but an emotional chiddush. As I was thinking about the Shalom Zachar, as I was thinking about the bracha that I was given, I realized I don't have enough ways to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so as David HaMelech says, I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the drums and with the cymbals, with song and with dance. There are just not enough ways to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift that he's given me. And when I saw this story, what struck me again is the same idea. That, again, imagine for this person the pain and the heartache he had experienced for so many years. The challenges, the frustrations, the disappointments. I'm sure it wasn't the first time that he had davened for a child. He had davened for a child, I'm sure, for years. And he had heard no for years for whatever the reason. And finally, he heard yes. And like Meir said, maybe this was the yes that was so many years in coming. But he heard yes. And that joy that he felt, he channeled into, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say yes to our tefillah sometimes. And so again, as we transition from Tanis Esther to Purim, and the joy of Purim, hopefully we take with us the joy of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu always hears our tefillahs. He always answers in the ways that they're best for us. But in case sometimes it's hard for us to appreciate that no is sometimes what's best for us, oftentimes it's a yes. And Tanis Esther is a celebration of that yes. It's a celebration of how much Hashem loves us, celebration of how much Hashem cares for us. It should give us chizuk in terms of our davening to realize there's a part of bakasha, but there's a part of Hodav expressing our appreciation for everything that Hashem does for us.